We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preservation of your word, which is a gift of life and strength for us in this world. Lord, we rejoice that this word is unlike any other word written. It is a word that bears your authority, your inspiration, and it is intended to lead us and guide us and bring us not only to salvation, but to the path of life, that we might inherit that kingdom that you won for us through your cross and resurrection. So Lord, may your Spirit that dwells in us speak to us this day, enlighten us this day, and encourage us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to begin with a question. How many of you were alive in 1992? Raise your hand. Stockwell, I said 1992, not 1892. Well, in 1992, 79-year-old Stella Liebeck bought a cup of takeout coffee in the McDonald's drive-thru in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And she spilled it on her lap. She wasn't driving. It was in her car. She was opening it. She was in the passenger seat to put her cream in. And it spilled on her, giving her third-degree burns. And a jury awarded her $3 million in punitive damages for the burns she suffered. Anyone familiar with this story? Well, I bet there's a lot more to the story that you aren't as familiar with. Let me give you some more details. Liebeck's case was far from an isolated event. McDonald's had received more than 700 previous reports of injury from its coffee, including third-degree burns, and had paid settlements in some cases. And you might not have known this. Mrs. Liebeck only asked to settle for $20,000 to cover her burns and lost income. But McDonald's offered her nothing more than $800. So the case went to trial. And the jury found Mrs. Liebeck partially liable for the injuries she sustained, reducing the compensation for her injuries accordingly. But the jury's punitive damages award made headlines. Upset by McDonald's unwillingness to correct a policy despite hundreds of people suffering injuries, they awarded Liebeck the equivalent of 2 days' sales of coffee throughout all McDonald's chains. And that wasn't the end of it. The judge ultimately reduced the damage by over 80% to avoid what would have likely been years of appeals. Mrs. Liebeck and McDonald's later reached a confidential settlement. Now, here's a couple policies. McDonald's operations manual required the franchisees to hold its coffee at 180 to 190 degrees Fahrenheit. If spilled, coffee at that temperature causes third-degree burns in 3 to 5 seconds. And if you know, Miss Liebeck had skin grafts and all sorts of medical procedures as a result. So consider, McDonald's had over 700 warnings, none of which they took seriously. And the result of ignoring these warnings cost them financially. Well, in today's reading from Hebrews, we hear about warnings for you and I and the potential of a severe cost to us. So the author of Hebrews, let's just go with Barnabas, that's my guess, is warning Christians. And he's using the example of the people in the wilderness after they came out of exile. And today we are being challenged by the author whether or not to ignore God's warnings today, believing that somehow we are immune from the punishments Israel received. So you could ask it this way. Does being in Christ, does Christ give you full immunity for how you live your life? That's the question. Israel certainly believed that because they were chosen, they had this immunity, this deal between them and God. No matter how out of hand they got, God would always preserve them, always bless them, always deliver His promises to them because they were chosen. So, what did Israel do that we need to know about? Well, let's look at verse 12 of our reading. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Note the word unbelieving. This is a different word that the author uses. This is not a word meaning doubt, like when the man comes to Jesus and says, I believe, help my unbelief. We all have doubts. This is an unbelieving that deals with persistent refusal to trust God and to follow Him. This is an unbelief which leads to an evil conscience. The kind of unbelief that manifests itself in these ways, the hardening of your heart. It darkens your image and perception of God. And it misconstrues what He says and does because of deception in the heart. And the author uses this word specifically and the intensity of this word to rattle his hearers. He wants to get their attention. He wants them to hear what he, inspired by the Spirit of God, is warning them. And so he uses this word for that purpose. Now the author also says that these listeners or these original folks in Israel in the desert continued to drift no matter how many times God spoke to them, came near to them, and warned them. That is a hardened heart. And so the author says, this is what you need to know about people who discard the voice of God. He says, aren't these the ones whose corpses lay in the desert? Aren't these the ones who made God angry for 40 years? Aren't these the ones who robbed themselves of the inheritance that God had promised to give to them? Aren't these the people who disobeyed the voice of God and paid the ultimate price price and lost the ultimate prize. This is what he wants his modern day hearers to hear, and this is what he wants you and I to hear today. This is what happened to those who were dismissive and ignored God's word. And so we want to know what's at the heart of this disobedience that the author speaks to here in Hebrews. And the answer is not just the unbelieving, but the answer is heart. It was their heart that was the problem. Luther believes this is the biggest part of this verse, is the heart. A failure to mind your heart. This is where this unbelief finds its root. This is where unbelief blossoms into severe penalties. So what is his advice, verse 13? But exhort, or encourage one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And what are we to encourage one another with? Well, Pastor Bray couldn't have said it any better. Verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We are called to encourage one another with the word of God, which is always attended by the Holy Spirit, who does this work in your heart and mind that we ourselves alone could not do. If there's a hardness forming, this word and this spirit can break it up just like they break up kidney stones with lasers. But you see, you have to be where the word is taught, where the word is read, where the word is studied. You have to be in community with others, the places where God's Spirit delivers this warning to you and to me. Whether you're in worship, Bible study, small group, always ask that the Spirit might open your ears and your hearts to hear the word that the Lord has to say to you that day. Because that word to you that day, this day, could be the difference between life and death. Could be the difference between receiving a reward or doing all that you can to disinherit yourself from the inheritance that Christ won for you. This is why church, Bible study, it's not about attendance. I used to always tell this to my daughter. Missing church isn't like missing school where you get docked and if you miss so many days, you're in big trouble. I was like, believe it or not, pastors don't really care about attendance. What we care about is whether or not you are in the places where the Lord does his work on your heart and mine. What we care about is whether or not when you feel guilt and shame and you're moved to repentance that you hear these words spoken to you, your sins are forgiven in the name and through the work of Jesus Christ. If you're not here, you're not hearing or receiving those words that say, take and eat, this is my body given unto death for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and for the strengthening of your faith. Ought we to believe that because of Christ, we are immune the suffering and punishment of Israel? Are we to believe that we are immune from removing ourselves from the promise of a new heaven and a new earth and eternal rest? Sure, there's nothing you can do to inherit the kingdom. Christ has done that. But the author of Hebrews wants to remind you there's much you can do to walk away from it. And that walking away begins in the same place, in the same way for everyone. And that is turning a deaf ear to the voice of God when He speaks to you in your life. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, says this. And I want you to use this verse, as Pastor Bray had a sermon, I don't know now how many weeks ago, but he had a great verse to help remind us of the importance of that message. And if you remember at that sermon, that verse was, "Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my Redeemer," right? Helping us in James 3 to mind our tongue. Well, I hope this verse serves you as that one served me in that sermon. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, may your Spirit prevent us from this presumptuous thought that we will inherit your kingdom no matter what we do, no matter how we live. Lord, help us to hear your truth today, that if we live in such a way that leaves to this sort of lethal unbelief that Israel did, we too will fall short of that promised inheritance. So Lord, may your Spirit help us to be quick to repentance, quick to receive the gifts that help us to persevere in this faith and in this life, that we, on account of Christ, might receive that inheritance. We pray this in His precious, holy, and innocent name. Amen.